And would you turn in your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 11? We'll be reading verses 28 through 30. It says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, that the promises that we see in your word, the things that you've taught us, the things that you remind us of, God, the assurance that you will be right by us and you will always guide and direct us and give us rest, God, is refreshing. And we're grateful for that, Lord. And God, as we get into your word, as we look at these passages, God, I pray for your help. I pray for your leading. They came to hear from you and not from me. So God, fill me with your spirit. God, use this time for your glory. God, speak to those hearts that need to hear from you, God. Everyone does, Lord. We know that. And so, God, I pray that you do your work here this morning. Thank you for this time. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I remember I did a wedding, and I forgot to tell the people to sit down. And I was going and going, and someone's like, I can see them doing this. And so I'm glad I told you guys to sit down. That would have been kind of awkward preaching to you guys and you're standing up. So anyways, the portion of Scripture that I picked is a very familiar portion of Scripture, but it's an amazing passage of Scripture. It tells us the heart of Jesus and who he really is like and what he's like. It's such an important thing to see because we carry around so many wrong thoughts of who Jesus is, about how he thinks about us, how he interacts with us, how he treats us. And so it's important for us to know the heart of Jesus. So if you ever wanted to tell somebody or describe to somebody the heart of Jesus, your answer would be right here in Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30. So let's read that again. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We see three things Jesus says in here or commands us. Is the first one is come, take, and learn. Those are the things Jesus wants us to, he's commanding us to do through this portion of Scripture. He's speaking to us about, and it's an invitation to find rest. And isn't everybody looking for rest nowadays? Doesn't everybody want to feel rest? I mean, we can't wait to go. We can't wait for the weekend. We can't wait to go on vacation. We can't wait for retirement. I probably got another 11 years. You know, that's in your mind. You're looking at your calendar and you're trying to figure out, man, rest. We all are looking for and wanting rest in our lives. And it's hard to come by at times. And so that's why we're always chasing it. We live in a fast-paced world. So I got this little story here. The date was August 15th. 1930. On that day, a 45-year-old New York State Supreme Court justice named Joseph Crater, after spending an evening eating out with his friends, hailed a taxi and was never seen or heard from again. It remains one of the most mystifying missing person cases in FBI files. The FBI immediately suspected a kidnapping by someone who held a judicial grudge against Justice Crater. But that didn't seem to pan out. They then suspected the mafia activity because Justice Crater was an enemy of the mafia. But again, that led nowhere. There was only one clue which remains to this day. When his wife, Miss Crater, returned to their apartment the evening her husband disappeared, there on the table was a large amount of money in a check, and her husband's handwriting, which simply said, "I am very weary. Love, Joe." And maybe you can relate to Joe Crater, tired, stressed out, and life's thoughts of checking out. I mean, we all have that at times, right? We just go, "I can't take this anymore. This life is rough. This life is hard." And Crater, that's how he felt. He just says, "I'm very weary. Love, Joe." Joe was who Jesus was describing, all who labor and are heavy laden. So to labor is is burdens you put on yourself, right? You put these burdens on yourself to, and you grow weary, you're tired, you're exhausted, you're burnt out. And Jesus was describing those who were working for their salvation also. They were trying so hard to impress God. And so God, they're doing everything they can to get ahead and get God's attention. So they're striving. But also, you and I are laboring, pushing to exhaustion, and we're weary at times. It reminds me of this story. You know, a lot of times, you know, we're busy. Everybody's busy, and we got a lot of things going on. I got a job. I run work in my company, and I also do other things after work. I come home. I do things at home. My wife always has a project for me. She's the one that adds to this. No, I'm just kidding. But no, I have that. I do obviously things in the church, and there's nothing wrong with these things. And then sometimes I'll do side, you know, things and side work. And just recently I was working here at the church, and I was putting up this FRP, which is fiber reinforcement plastic, this wainscot there in the worship room. If you go in the children's worship room, you'll see this white kind of wainscot going around. And I was putting that up. Well, I was doing it after work, and then I was trying to finish up on this Saturday. And my wife came and helped me. And we did probably a 12-hour day that day. We worked long. And so we're coming to the end of our day. You know, I'm tired. I'm weary. Just like here. I'm laboring. I'm just exhausted. And she is as well. And so, you know, the way you do it is you get this 4-foot by 8-foot piece of FRP, which is, like I said, fiber reinforced plastic. And you put glue all on the backside of it. All around it. And you got to hit everywhere. You can't just like leave gaps. You got to hit everywhere, because when you put it up, you put your trim around it, and that trim is held by that glue as well. It just barely grabs it. So we put all this stuff on there, and we put all this glue, and we're at our last couple sheets, and I have these screws at the bottom of the sheetrock so I could place the thing on there. So it's kind of hard. I'm holding it like this. She's over there holding like this. We're getting glue all over our fingers, and we're putting it, and we get it on these screws, and we put it there. Well, I cut out for an outlet, a receptacle where you plug in. I cut out for that. And I, when I got on the wall, I said, hey, don't push it on the wall yet. We need to slide it over and line it up so we put it up and we don't, you know, hit that receptacle. Oops. What you mean, oops? She put it up. I look, and that whole receptacle, that outlet, is just baked with glue, all in the nook and crannies in there. It was all in, shoved in there where you plug in. So now I'm running to the breaker, turn it off, got to clean it all out before it dries up. This stuff dries really, really fast. Clean it all up and get it all done. And she's just sitting there, oh. Thank you, daughter. She's awesome. Is that what it is? You can't really hear? Okay. I think it's a little loose. So I go over there and I clean it all out. Okay. I'm tired. You know, I'm just okay. All right. So then we go to our second piece, and we have the same situation. And we come up, and we already know the routine, so we got this. We put it up there, said, wait. Oops. This time, she's laughing. I'm not kidding. She's laughing at me. I'm like, and I didn't say anything. I was fuming, but I didn't say anything. I'm just like, I was to the point of just overloaded, fatigued. I'm weary, I'm tired, I just want to be done. That's laboring to me. That's striving. That's trying to get to this point. And I was just out of it. And she's laughing. She's laughing the whole time. Yeah, I got to take a look at her. And then there's also, it says there's you're laboring and then also heavy laden. Well, heavy laden is those burdens you put on, that others put on you. Like a loaded ship, right? I just drove by the port over there in Oakland this week. I did drive by there. And you see those ships, and they're just loaded. There's like hundreds and hundreds of containers on top of them. It's crazy. And that's the picture there. You're loaded with other people putting things on top of you. Your boss, your family, unexpected news, health problems. The media, isn't that crazy? You just watch the media for a second. All of a sudden, boom, you're bombarded with a bunch of stuff. And then all of a sudden, you feel loaded and beat down. And you're overloaded. This weight upon you is unbearable at times. And you can't take it. And that's how we're running life, man. We're just like, this is just too much. It's all on me and the pressure. I got to do this. I got to do that. And someone says, hey, you need to do this or whatever. You hear about what's going on in our world. And you hear about the political things. You hear about the votes that just went by. And all these different things. And it just piles up and piles up and piles up on us. And then also like the religious leaders back in that day, they were putting pressure on them and telling them, this is how you need to live your life. This is how you can reach God. And so this was all going on. This is laboring and heavy laden. When you labor, that's when you put things upon yourself. When you're heavy laden, that's when someone puts something upon you and loads you down. These things add to you, to your load, weighing you down. And we can all relate to that. We've all been there. Life is tough. Life is burdensome. The day-to-day grind, like Groundhog's Day, the same thing over and over every single day. The burden to succeed, the burden of the election that we just had, the burden of impressing God, the burden to find pleasure and happiness, the burden to find that significant other, the burden to burden of your family, the burden of inflation, the burden to just survive. I mean, there's a ton of things going on in this fast-paced, super expensive, non-godly way of thinking society that we live in, right? There's a lot of that going on. That's what we're in. That's what we're a part of. And like Joseph Crater, at times you feel like checking out. I just can't take this anymore. You got so much going on. You're just like, I don't want this anymore. I just want to. Sometimes I sing this song at the work, and I never even listen to this kind of music, but it's been in my head since way back. I just want to get away. I just want to fly away. Some of you guys know that, who that's from, Lenny Kravitz or something like that, but I don't know who that guy is. Scratch that from the thing. Can't bring worldly stuff in there. But anyways, sometimes I think that I'm at work, and my son heard me singing it sometimes at work. I'll be like, I just want to get away. I just want to fly away. Get out. And that's how we feel at times. We just sometimes just want to check out, and we're weary, burdened, depressed, not liking the way your life is. You're defeated, and you're wanting rest. And you want some relief. But where you find it is the real question. Where do you find that relief? Where do you get that rest? What's your go-to? What do you turn to find rest in your life? Some turn to alcohol. Boy, I just need a drink. Calm myself down, relax a little. That's not rest. You wake up in the morning and it's still there, that stress. Oh, I just need to get on Amazon and shop a little, right? And yeah, that gives me pleasure and relief, right? A new package in the mail. Boom, you get all these packages. You open them up. You look at them. Oh, this is cool. Okay, I got to call and get some more. Oh, yeah, I got some more packages. So it's just that's not real rest. I just need to find my significant other. That's when I'll feel complete and find rest, right? If I find that partner, if I find that wife, if I find that husband, I'm going to feel rest. And people are chasing that, and they're not feeling rest. Or I just need a vacation, right? Get away from all this stuff and just rest. But when you get back, you need a vacation from your vacation. It's not real rest, right? Or I just got to take care of myself. Eat better, go to the gym, get rid of all this negativity in my life, get rid of all my social media, hang around only positive people. There's the solution. Then I'll find rest. But all this is only temporal and only lasts for a little while. If you're not a Christian here this morning, and you feel like, man, if I just clean up my life, if I get rid of all this negativity in my life, all this stuff, and then all this bad stuff, and then my life will be good. And then I'll find some rest. Listen to this verse. Turn with me real quick to Matthew. We'll be in Matthew, just the next chapter over, Matthew chapter 12. We'll start at verse 43. It says this: when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they entered and dwelled there. And the last state of that man was worse than the first. So shall it be. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. So the picture here is that. Here's a person that thinks, man, if I just get my life cleaned up, if I just get rid of all this negativity, if I get rid of all these addictions or whatever in my life, if I just kind of change my life and start living good, man, I'll be good. you clean up your house, you clean it all up, and yeah, you got rid of that unclean spirit, and it's out of your life, and you're good. It's all in order. But then that spirit comes back and looks and says, oh, it is in order. Well, that looks good. It's nice. Actually, I could bring some buddies. I'm going to bring seven or other unclean spirits, demons, more wicked than I am, and we're going to make him even worse than he was before. Why did that happen to him? He never put Jesus in there. He never put Jesus in that house. I don't care what you do. I don't care how clean you get your life, how you get everything put together and you're all running, you're doing well. If you never put Jesus in your house, he could come back and wreck you in a minute, take you out. And you know what? Sometimes he doesn't just take you out and make you look all bad. He allows you to think you're doing okay. You're fine. Your house is in order. Boy, that looks good. That new window, whew, that looks beautiful. Oh, that picture, that looks great. Oh, there's no dirt on the ground. Keep it going. But you never, ever put Jesus in your life. And he got you. And he messes with you. So the thought that if I just clean up my life, I'm going to be good, beware. The enemy's out there and he sees it. And he takes advantage of those opportunities to take you down. You got to put Jesus there. That's when you find rest. It's simple. There's no prerequisite. There's no secret formula. It's not being good. It's Jesus' first command, come just as you are. Many think they have to get their lives together, clean it up, not to look so bad, and then they come to Jesus. If I just get my life in order and I don't look so bad, man, I'll be okay. No, it's like catching that fish. Have you ever went fishing? And you went out, I'm sure you have. And you threw your line out there and you're pulling that fish. And it came, you brought it up on shore and you're like, perfect. I could put it right on the grill because it's already filleted, gutted, and deboned, and boom, right? That's how it comes when you catch it. No, it never comes like that. It comes just like a fish flopping around and all crazy. What do you got to do? You got to cut it open, take out all the junk in the middle, debone it, and you can cook it, right? That's how we do it. Or you leave the bones and some leave it. However you do it. But it gets cleaned up. That's the same thing for you and I. Man, you come just the way you are. Doesn't matter what's going on in your life, what you've done in your past, what you think is so wrong, and oh man, there's just no way God will accept me. You come the way you are, and God will accept you just the way you are. And guess what? He knows how to take out that junk in your life. He knows how to clean that all up and get rid of all that stuff and put you on the barbecue. Yeah. And you make sure that you're tasting good after that. Yeah, your life is reflecting him. You know, and that's what Jesus wants to do in your life. So come just as you are. You who labor and are heavy laden, realizing you can't bear the load of sin yourself. And Jesus said, I will give you rest. So if you're not a Christian here this morning, Jesus says, come and I will give you rest. Become a Christian today. Admit that you're a sinner. Ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and he will give you eternal life. It's not difficult. It's pretty simple. The gospel is simple. That's why it's so hard for people to accept it. So come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So the first command from Jesus is come to me, and you will get immediate rest. Sins are forgiven. Burden is lifted. Oh, what a sigh of relief, huh? When I first got saved, I can just remember that. I remember I was sitting there on the phone with somebody, and I was going through a ton of stuff at the time, and it wasn't good. And I was just feeling suicidal. I was heartbroken. All these different things were going on in my life. And this person said to me, maybe God's trying to get your attention. And I got on my knees, and I prayed, and I asked God to come into my life. And it was that sigh of relief. Like, did everything change at that moment? No. But I felt this rest that came from him that I don't have to bear this load alone. He lifted it from me. He took those sins and he forgave those sins that were piling up on me and I was living this crazy life. He forgave me at that moment. In that moment, I felt rest. And that's what it was like when I first got saved. So don't wait to get saved. Get saved today. Give your life to Christ today. Then Jesus' second and third command is take and learn. There in verses 29 and 30. Let's read that one again. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So first you come to him and you find immediate rest, which is eternal rest in heaven. Your burdens are lifted, your sins are forgiven. Then in order to maintain that rest for your soul, you take his yoke and learn from him, and you will find rest for your soul. And then you might say, wait a minute. You're telling me to take a yoke? You're telling me Jesus is going to put a yoke on me like what they put on animals to control them as they plow their fields? Yes, that's exactly what Jesus is saying. Let me control your life. Let me control your life. Well, that doesn't sound right to me. I mean, you're going to put another burden on me, right? You're putting a yoke. If you know what a yoke is, that's what they put on two animals to kind of keep them together, control them as they plow a field or they do the work for them. And you're going to put that on top of me? That doesn't make sense. You just told me you're going to give me rest. You're going to take these burdens from me, those who are laboring, those who are heavy laden. You're going to take that from me. Now you're going to put a yoke on me and control my life? I remember I told this guy at our old church. Our old church was over there by Cloverleaf, Bowling Alley. And we were over there, and you could come inside the building, and we had our donuts right there. And some guy came in, and he wanted a donut, so we gave him a donut, you know. And then I was had a little conversation with him. And then he begins to leave and walk out. And I said, hey, just surrender your life to Jesus. And he turned around, and he was almost like literally yelling at me. He goes, I'll never surrender to anybody. Oh, that's crazy. Why would someone say that? Because we're taught that nobody tells us what to do, right? That's what this generation, that's how we're taught nowadays. You can't tell me what to do. I make my own decisions. Isn't that what Frank Sinatra said? I did it my way. And so the thought of somebody controlling your life is a negative thing. That's what we're taught. That's how we think nowadays. You don't tell me what to do. No. I could do this myself. That's the mentality. I can handle this. I can solve this. I'll go through this. I'll grind through this. I could do this myself. You can't tell me what to do, and nobody can control my life. Have you ever had a situation where you had no clue what you were doing? You had no idea how to do this task, how to build this thing, how to work on this program, this problem, or situation, whatever it may be, and then all of a sudden somebody comes and knows exactly what to do, and they just lighten your whole load. That's what Jesus said. If you take his yoke and learn from him, he gives you the rest for your soul. Man, I could figure this out. I could do this. Jesus said, I'll come alongside of you, and I'll lighten that load because I know what to do. I know how to handle that situation in your life. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotion. Pastor Tim tells us that all the time, right? That's what it is. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotion. If there's anything that needs rest, it's your soul, right? I mean, your mind is flooded with information, right? We have always flooded with information, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing. If you're just sitting there right now, you might be thinking about 100 things, or maybe you're concentrating or paying attention to what I'm saying. Whatever that might be, there's a lot of stuff flowing into your mind. You listen to, you look, watch the media, you go somewhere, you're driving down the road, you're just flooded with things, and your mind is just going back and forth with all this stuff. You need to do this, you need to do that, you need to go there, you need to go here, you need to fix that, you need to answer that, you need to talk to them, you need to plan for that, you need to invest in that, you need to look ahead, and it's just going crazy. So much information is flooded into your mind, and so that affects your will. So your mind, will, and emotion, it affects your will. Now you got all this information. Now this is what I got to do. I got to do something about these things that are flooding through my mind. What am I going to do? So now you feel you have to go fix these things and go in that direction or something. And then you're just not sure if that's the right direction. So then all of a sudden your emotions kick in. Oh, is this right? Should I be doing this? Should I go that way? Should I fix that thing? Should I call that person? Should I fix this mic? Whatever it might be. It's running through your mind, all these different things that you got going on. And your emotions are going everywhere. So all these things are going on and it's going crazy in your head. But Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your soul, your mind, will, and emotion. those areas that just like almost, in a sense, could torment you on a day-to-day basis. I mean, right now you could be thinking about what's going on tomorrow at work. You could be thinking about what's going to happen to your loved ones at home, what's going to take place there. You could be thinking about some people that you've been praying for years and they're not responding, or they're not giving their lives to Christ, or they're hurting, or they're going through a hard time. Or you could be thinking about the information that you just got about something that happened that was tragic. There's so many things that are going through our minds. And Jesus says, I can give you that rest for your soul. I can help you out in those areas. So when it comes to Jesus controlling your life, he said, I'm gentle and lowly in heart. He's not a slave driver. He's not going to belittle you and make you do everything you don't want to do. No, he's going to teach you how to live this Christian life and walk with you through every step of the way, through every trial and tribulation. He'll be there with his arm around you. That reminds me of the story of a Sunday school teacher when she asked one of her children. She read Matthew chapter 11, verse 30, our portion of scripture, to the children in her class. And then she asked, Jesus said, my yoke is easy. Who can tell me what a yoke is? A boy raised his hand and replied, a yoke is something they put on the necks of animals so they can help each other out. Then the teacher asked, what is the yoke Jesus puts on us? A quiet little girl raised her hand and said, it's God putting his arm around us. I like that. Jesus putting his arm around us, pointing and showing us how to live this Christian life. It's like him coming like, oh, come on, man. Look, this is what you need to do, man. We're going to go over here, and this is how you live your life, and man, this is how you treat that person over there. You know, he's just kind of guiding and directing you in all these ways. And that's through the Word of God, right? When we read his Word, that's Jesus putting his arm around us, kind of telling us how to live this life. There in Matthew chapter 5 through 7 is the Sermon on the Mount, right? We know that sermon. You don't have to turn there, but we know about that Sermon on the Mount where Jesus sat down and he taught his disciples and a bunch of people were there and he was teaching them. And he was teaching them how to live this Christian life. And he went through a bunch of things. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. He taught them things like that. He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Oh, you're pure? You're living godly? You don't have impurity? Well, guess what? You get to see God. If you're impure, you're not going to be able to see him too much. So he's teaching them how to live this Christian life. He talks about being the salt and the light of the world. Man, you got to shine for me. You know, he's got his arm around. You got to shine for me, man. You got to tell these people about me. You got to let them see Jesus through you. Then he's going around and he's saying, hey, man, don't be looking at people and with murder in your heart, like, I don't like you or whatever. Man, you got to forgive people. If somebody did you wrong, go ask them for forgiveness. Try to get that thing right. He talks about, man, if you're sitting there looking at a woman to lust, you committed adultery in your heart. Boy, he told them all these different things. He's telling them how to live this Christian life. He says the marriage is sacred. You need to protect your marriage. Man, you don't go out there and say, well, you know what, I'm sick of you. Man, you're boring. I'm going to go try someone else. No, you just don't divorce. That's kind of how our society is right now. Man, I'll just get a divorce and go somewhere else. No, he said it's sacred. You stay with the girl that you married and you said before God till death do us part. Jesus forbids oaths. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. So he's telling them how to do this with his arm around them. Go that second mile. He talks about things like that. He said, love your enemies. Oh, no, I can't do that one. No, he said, love them. Love your enemies. He said, when you do your charitable deeds, don't let people see it like you're trying to get man's applause. Just do it unto the Lord. Do it unto me. He teaches us how to pray and how to fast and how to lay up treasures here on in heaven, not here on earth. You know, oh, I got to have all these things. You know that one saying, man, he who dies with the most toys wins. Oh, I got to have all this stuff. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying your treasure there in heaven. And you want to live for him. So Jesus is kind of, he'll guide you through this stuff. He'll tell you how to live this life. He says the lamp of the body is the eye. Man, whatever I'm looking at, that's kind of who I am. That's going to reflect who I am. That's going to show you the kind of person that I am. He says you can't serve two masters. He talks about things like, he said, don't worry about yourself, man, what you eat or drink. I'll take care of you. Don't judge people and how they are and what they do and try to find what's fault. And then he says, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Man, you got something going on, don't give up. I want you to keep going. Why? Because I like the attention. Jesus loves that. He loves you to bug him. Keep talking to him. Oh, man, my prayers aren't being answered, so I just stop. No, you keep talking to him. Be that persistent widow who kept coming and kept coming. He said, man, unless she drives me crazy, I'm going to help her out. That was that parable that we have in there. The same thing for you. You keep coming because he says, ask, seek, and knock. Then also he talks about, hey, man, there's a narrow way to live. Yeah, it's difficult. It's a difficult life. Whoever here is a Christian and you're trying to follow Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you know that path is difficult. There's going to be obstacles on the way. There's going to be temptation. There's going to be hardship. There's going to be a bunch of things. But he said, man, you got to stick to that narrow way because broad is the way that leads to destruction, right? That's what he says. And many go find it because it's so much easier, man. I could just go this way. I don't have any obstacles. And nothing's in my way. I can just smooth sailing. I could get in the sailboat, sit back and relax and have my tea and go down the ocean. No, he said, sometimes it might be difficult. Not always difficult, but it is sometimes difficult because you're going against the current, right? You're going against what people are saying out here in society. That's not how you should live your life. I want to live for Jesus. And so Jesus said, live that, go down that narrow way. Then he also talks about, hey, man, how you live your life, people can tell. They'll know you by your fruit. Man, if you had a tree sitting there and you know it's an apple tree because there's apples. And just like a Christian, you'll know they're a Christian because of how they live their life and how they are. So he talks about these things. And then he says, a lot of people sometimes at the end will say, hey, man, I knew you, Jesus. I followed you, Jesus. I did all these things for you, Jesus. And he says, depart from me. I never knew you. That's that person that would sit in there and they cleaned up their house, but they never put Jesus in. They acted like they were good. They acted like everything was going right, but they never really had a relationship with Jesus. And he said, depart from me, I never knew you. And then at the very end of his whole Sermon on the Mount, he ends there with building on the rock. And he says that, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him as a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. He says, man, if you're following me, you're trusting me, you're anchored into me, you're going to have trials. You're going to have those winds. You're going to have those waves. You're going to have those floods. You're going to have all those different things hitting on your house. But because you're anchored into me, you're not going to fall. I'm going to sustain you. You're going to find rest for your soul. I'm going to be able to get you through anything in life. But if you seem to plant your house or build your house on something that you think is a great idea. Oh, I know this will help me. If I just do this in my life, if I have this investment, if I have this partner, if I have this vacation, whatever it might be, I'll be good and I'll find rest. And the nearest and the quick or the first time you get hit with the flood, wind or rain, boom, you fall flat because you were never anchored into Jesus. That's how you find rest. Jesus wants to come alongside of us and teach us. That's why he said learn. So if you build your house upon Jesus, you will have rest for your soul. Like I said, because the rains will come, the floods will come, the winds, which is the trials and tribulations we go through in our life, they will come. But through them, because you're anchored into Jesus, you will find rest for your soul. That's something we got to learn. That's something we have to apply to our lives daily, always. I think we forget that and we're suffering more than we should. Because he's promised he will give us rest for our soul. I think we forget that. We go through life and we're going through stuff and we're like, man, this is hard. This is difficult. And he said, I can give you rest for your soul. Whatever, your whole mind, your whole will, your whole emotion, all those things that are going crazy, I can give you rest right there. Just come to me. It's that simple. Oh, okay, that's sometimes the simplest things are the hardest things to do. It's so simple, but we avoid it because we want to find something out to try to fill that void, to fill that longing for rest in our life. And he said, man, just come to me. I'm telling you, 28 years following Jesus, that's what I've learned. I go to him. I pray to him. When my wife was laughing at me out back there when we were putting up that wainscot, I said, Lord, pray that I don't take her out. I pray. I really do. I have that relationship. I seek him. When I'm at work and I'm going through hard things, I don't know how to do it. Lord, help me. Give me wisdom. And guess what? When it's done and it's fixed and it happens and we solve the problem, guess what I say? Thank you, Lord. I always say that. Thank you, Lord. Because I know who helped me. I know who's there for me. I know who's given me that rest. It's Jesus. And that's always the thing. You know, when you go, your kids go to Sunday school and you're in the van. We have a van. You might have some other people. We have a van. We're going home. Hey, kids, what did you learn in Sunday school? What did you learn about? Jesus. And it's true, you did. And that's the same thing we got. I'm saying here, it's just Jesus. There's no other formula. There's no other recipe. There's no other way to make this happen. It's just Jesus. And you'll find rest for your soul. And I think we miss that so many times. And we have so much suffering, so much difficulty, so much pain that we allow to come into our lives. And we're just, we have this, you know, frown on our face. Don't be downtrodden. What's that? There was a song we used to sing. Yeah, why so downcast, oh my soul? And we're walking, why are you like that? No, you don't have to be like that. But many Christians are anxious and troubled. Although they are experiencing the rest of salvation that accompanies the forgiveness of sins and are looking forward to the eternal rest of heaven, their souls are still in turmoil. Fearful and doubting, they seem to be continually burdened by life's problems. A close look at their anxiety can reveal the reason for their distress, having never learned to rest in the Lord. They fail to experience the rest for their soul that comes through daily fellowship with Jesus, through Bible study, through prayer, and things like that. They haven't learned to rest in the Lord, and they fail to experience that rest for their soul. Turn with me real quick to Jeremiah chapter 6. It's to your left. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Jeremiah chapter 6. It's kind of in the middle of your Bible. Okay, it says, thus saith the Lord, Jeremiah 6:16. I'm sorry, did I say 16? Probably didn't. Jeremiah 6:16. It says, thus saith the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old path. Ask for the old paths. That just reminds me of something. I'll stop right there. Ask for the old paths. Sometimes when I'm going through difficult things or me and my friends are talking, we're talking about, man, dude, I'm just going through this and that. There's something that we always go back to. It's that old path. And what I call it is go back to the basics. Just go back to the basics. What's the basics? It's reading, praying, worshiping, and fellowship. Just the basic things. Just go back to those things and you'll see that you'll find relief. Go back to those old paths. That's what Jeremiah is saying here, right here in this portion of Scripture, what the Lord says. He says, just go back to those old paths. And he says, what happens? He says, where the good way is. And that reminds me, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's a good way. Man, when I'm reading and fellowshipping with the Lord, when I'm worshiping Him, when I'm praying to Him, when I'm just connected to Him, man, that's the good way. I feel good. I feel good inside. I feel the presence of Lord in my life. I feel that rest that I'm longing for in my life. And he says, remember those things. And then he says, and walk in it. That's taking his yoke upon you and learning from him. Walk in it. You're sitting there and you're yoked with Jesus and you're going and you're letting him control your life. You're walking this path that he told you to walk. You're letting him guide and direct you. You're letting him to tell you which direction to go. How important is that for us to do? It is important. We need to have him guide and direct our lives because we already know how messed up our life can get when we didn't follow Jesus. And so he says, and walk in it. Then he says, then you will find rest for your soul. So that old path, and you remember all those things when you grew, when you're reading and praying and you're worshiping, and it's just good times, right? It says those good ways. And but then he says, walk in it. You got to make sure you walk in it though. Don't try to drift off. Don't try to just get back in cruise control and say, man, I don't need to do this in my life anymore. I'm okay. I think I've arrived. I think I'm good. I've been sitting in that seat at church for 10 years now and I'm good. I don't need any of that anymore. No, you need it daily. Daily, you need to be in the Word of God. Like it says, you got to put on that armor always. You got to always be prepared for what comes against you. If you're not being prepared, you're not walking in it, you can be susceptible to anything. You can find yourself going down the path you wish you never did. And it's not the old path. You're going down some path, some new path that you shouldn't be going down. That's that broad way. And he says, take the narrow way. But then he says, but they said, we will not walk in it. This is why many Christian souls are in torment, turmoil, because they don't want to walk in it. I just don't. I got other plans. I got another agenda. I could solve these things myself. I could figure this life out myself. They're not walking in it. When Jesus says, learn from me, they haven't learned to walk with Jesus, to take his yoke upon them. And that's Jesus putting his arm around us, pointing you in the right direction, directing you to go here, to go there. And every once in a while, he puts his other arm underneath you and carries you in your most difficult and trying times. Right? Okay, God, we're going. We're good. You're just hanging out. It's that Footprints, you know, poem that we all have read. You're going down the beach and you're good. And all of a sudden, there's only one set of footprints. You say, Lord, where were you? That was the most difficult time of my life. Where were you? Why didn't you help me out in that time? And he says, I was there. I was carrying you. And that's what the Lord does in your most difficult time. You might be going through something here this morning that you feel like you can't even bear. Hey, I'm just telling you, it's really simple. Go to Jesus. Well, I've been going to him. Well, keep going. And quit trying to figure something out. So quit moping, quit crying. Keep going to him and say, God, you promised me you'll give me rest for my soul. And God's promises are true to this day. And we can still rely on them. You pray that and God will give you that relief that you need. Be persistent. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Keep asking. Don't stop. Because your enemy's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And we don't want to give him a foothold in our life. We want to be able to push him out. And that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the way we get him out of our lives. We're staying consistent with him. We're walking in the way he has for us. So sometimes he carries us as well. So that your house will stand firm. Another verse, which we all know, we don't need to turn there, but some of you don't know, so I'll give you the reference. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understandings. Wait a minute, I got it. I know how to do this. No, lean not on your own understandings. In all your ways, acknowledge who? Acknowledge Pastor Tim. No, acknowledge Robert Romero. He knows everything. No, acknowledge him. And he will direct your path. Go to him. I mean, these verses are here and they're telling us over and over again. They're reminding us of these things. And we seem to forget that path, that old path. Stay on it. Walk in it. Keep coming to him. And watch. You will have your path straight. You'll have your path guided. And you'll have that relief for your soul, that rest. So if your yoke is hard and your burden is heavy, then we can say that it isn't his yoke or burden, and you aren't letting him bear it with you. Jesus said it plainly, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So when you're walking this path, you're going to have sometimes burdens and you'll have difficulties. But he says it's light. Because why? He's right there with you. He's linked up with you, his arms around you, and he's taking you on this journey and he's going to help you. I understand, son. I understand, daughter. I know what you're feeling. I know how hard it is. As a matter of fact, when I was on this earth, that's how they treated me. They didn't care about me. They always tried to kick me out. They said I was a wine bibber. I had demons in me, all these different things. They said to get out of here. We don't want you in our country. And all that was coming there was to save them, to tell them I have a plan for their lives. And they kept pushing me out. And at the very end, they ended up spitting on me and punching me in the face and put a crown of thorns on my head. And they whipped me with a whip and they nailed me to a cross. Do I understand what you're going through? Yes, I do. And I know how to help you. And I know how to be there right by you and get you through those things. Because I've experienced the same thing in my life. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he cares about you. Oh, how he wants to help you through the most difficult times in your life. You have to go back to the basics and take his yoke upon you and learn from him by putting the word of God in your mind so your will be his will and your emotions will be under his control and you will find rest for your soul. So Jesus commands us to come, take, and learn. And that invitation to come to Jesus is still available today. God loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm pretty sure a majority of you people in here are Christians. You've asked Jesus into your heart. But maybe you're not. Maybe you're that one person in here that you've never gave your heart to Jesus, and you have that, you're laboring, you're heavy laden, you have this weight upon your shoulders, and you've been trying to do this Christian thing or coming to church thing and feeling like that's going to help me and make me feel better, but you've never felt fulfilled because the void is still there. The house is only clean. Jesus never came in. If that's you here this morning, you say, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to get saved. I want to get this burden. I want to get this load. I want to have rest for my soul. Jesus says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If that's you, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Everybody, please. If that's you here this morning, and you feel like, I can't bear this anymore. This is way too heavy for me. I realize I've been trying to do it myself for so many years. I realize that it's not working, and I feel the tug of, it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart and getting your attention and saying, today's the day for salvation. If that's you here this morning, just raise your hand right where you're at. I want to pray for you. Is there anybody here? Just raise your hand right where you're at. I'm not going to embarrass you or make you stand up. Just raise your hand right where you're at. Anybody here said, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. Sometimes I'll let these go for a second because I know God's speaking to people's hearts. I remember so many times when I wanted to give my life to Christ and I just didn't. And one day I did, 28 years ago. If that's you here this morning, and you want to give your life to Christ and say, I want my sins forgiven. I want to make sure that my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life and I'll spend eternity with Jesus. Raise your hand right now and let me pray for you. Anybody here? Okay. Well, let me pray for you. If there's stuff going on in your life, which I know a lot of us are dealing with, we have burdens, we're overloaded, and God really does want to give you rest. I'm just going to pray for everybody in general because I know probably all of us can raise our hands and say, yeah, I got things going on in my life that are just crazy. And I don't think I can make it anymore. I don't think I can take another step. The things that I just heard, the information that I just got, the things that I got ahead of me that I have to finish and get done, it's just overwhelming. Let's pray about that right now. Let's pray. Lord, in Jesus' name, it is so comforting, Lord, that you will always be with us. You'll never forsake us. And even when we are not doing well, we're not even looking to you, you're still there. You're still right by our sides. And there's probably people here this morning that are dealing with things in their life that they just can't seem to bear. And it's difficult, and they feel like they don't even know how to fix this problem. They don't know how to solve this puzzle. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, would you help them? Would they realize that you're available? And God, even would you reveal? Would you just give them that rest, even immediately, so that they would know, oh, that was you, Lord. That was you. You cared about me. You loved me. So God, I pray that you would give rest here this morning to that soul. That you would encourage them, that you would help them, that they would be able to go tomorrow, even though the situation didn't change, they would know you're with them and that you're going to guide and direct them and teach them how to make it through this life. Lord, I pray your blessing upon each and every single person here.